Chapter 20. Kelly comes over scene 1. Oh. You're back. The next morning Kelly came bubbling into the carriage house. Hi. I'm back. Oh. Hi. You're back. Robert hadn't slept. He had been grappling with what he had learned about Kelly from Elaine, his exploration on the internet, his call to the priest. Who was Kelly, a child of stone, or a girl of tender and affectionate flesh, who now bounced up to him and put her arms around him? She smelled warm and clean, and of the peppermint toothpaste she had used to brush her teeth, and of her special lotion that he knew so well. She was almost giggling. Did you miss me? Robert didn't place his arms around Kelly. The last time she had stood this close to him, she said she would slit his throat if he touched her. Sure. Kelly leaned back and scrunched up her eyes. So, what's going on? Robert wasn't sure what was going on. Kelly's hands on the back of his head, her body pressed to his, he was about ready to kiss her and risk a bloody neck. He wasn't sure now if he cared whether she was devil or angel. Robert stalled for time. Oh, nothing. I was just startled to see you, that's all. Kelly switched to a different topic. So, how'd you and my mother get along without Sam or me? That was a topic Robert would like to have avoided. Mrs. Gallo? Oh, all right, I guess. So, how have you been? Ugh. Dummy. Dummy. She spent the week in a mental hospital. What do you think? To Robert's relief, Kelly ignored the question. But then she stepped back, crossed her arms, and went into her direct mode. So why do you call the police? I could hear you screaming. And someone else. I thought you were being killed. Well, that's silly. Robert's head moved back, his eyes narrowed. Kelly, I know what I heard. At first, I thought you were calling me. Your phone must have pocket-dialed me. I kept trying to talk to you, but all I heard was the screaming. I thought you needed help. Kelly took a step toward him. If you thought I was being killed and needed help so badly, why didn't you rush over and save me? Robert was an observer, not a doer. It had never occurred to him. Why hadn't he? He reached for some reason. I don't know, maybe you were arguing with your mother? I didn't want to meddle. You didn't want to meddle with my mother and me arguing, so you called the police? Robert was out of reasons. Loser. I panicked. It was the only thing I could think of to do. He tried to regain some dignity. So, what was all the yelling about? I was watching a horror movie on TV. Sam and Elaine were out partying, so I like to turn it up when they're not around. Robert felt his face warm as Kelly continued her attack. There was no problem. If there had been, don't you think the police would have taken action? They just asked me to turn it down because, Kelly shook a finger toward Robert, it was scaring my crazy next-door neighbor. The last time they were together, she had called him a C person who wanted to be an A. She was right. An A would have done it better. Okay. Okay. I got it. I made a mistake. Kelly was not letting up. If you had come over, instead of losing it like you did, you would have seen everything was all right. Robert lashed out. They took you to a psychiatric hospital. Kelly didn't miss a beat. What? That's ridiculous. Well, you left awfully fast. You didn't even let me know you were going. My aunt got sick and was hospitalized. She lives a couple of states away. She asked if I would go out there and take care of her kids until she got out. They're 5 and 8-year-old boys. I was taking care of my cousins. Robert was so confused. It was your aunt in the hospital, not you? Yeah. And it wasn't for any psychological issues. Kelly's tone softened, and she actually smiled. Although I may need help after taking care of my cousins for a week. Robert took the smile as an olive branch. That was good. A calm, sensible discussion with Kelly, that's what was needed. Elaine had been so convincing in her stories about Kelly. He needed to work this out. He took Kelly's hands in his. I promised I wouldn't talk about this. About what happened. You. But since we are. Promised who? Your mother. Kelly pushed Robert's hands away and stepped back. So what's up with that? What did you talk about? Stay calm. Stay rational. Robert failed. She told me you had attempted suicide when you were younger and had gone to some institution. Then when this new thing happened, the police, or someone, ordered you get treatment. So, they had you go back to that place. Because they were afraid I was suicidal? I guess so. Kelly looked to her side and crossed her arms, not defiantly this time. Then looked at Robert. Well, like I told you, there was no problem. But it sounds like the suicide thing again. What suicide thing? They've taken my friends aside. Promise not to tell Kelly. But have you noticed anything strange about her lately? Do you think she's all right? Would you let us know if you have any concerns? They've told the family they think I'm suicidal. I'm afraid we have a problem with Kelly again. Why would they do that? Honestly, I don't know. I get a lot of people acting like they're walking on eggshells around me. But I don't know what Sam and my mother gained by that. How could anyone gain by your being suicidal? Kelly shook her head. It's not being suicidal. It's being a suicide. Kelly wrapped her arms around her as in a protective cocoon. They want me dead. Kelly, that makes no sense. What possible reason could there be? They have a reason. I don't know what it is, but by calling the police, you played into their hands. Now they can tell everyone police were called, and I was put back into that institution. But your aunt knows differently. She's Sam's sister. She's not going to contradict him. Kelly shook her head, harder this time. God, my life would be so much easier if he wasn't around. Kelly stepped up to Robert. Robert, look at me. I'm not suicidal. You believe that, don't you? What to believe? Robert didn't know. He had been so close himself that cold, rainy day. Only the slamming of a car door had stopped him. So how do you know? He didn't. He wanted so much to figure Kelly out. So, maybe it's not like you're suicidal. But maybe something. He put his hands on Kelly's hips. How to say this? Mrs. Gallo said you had made up friends. Every kid does. She said it went further than that. That you started to be like them. Be careful how you phrase this, Robert. Or even think you were them. Kelly stepped back. This is getting crazier and crazier. Who's Janie? Kelly's head jerked. Janie? I've already told you about her, she's a friend of mine. Elaine said when you were younger, you had a babysitter named Janie. Kelly leaned forward. Elaine. Since when have you called my mother Elaine? It must have slipped out. It sure did. I told you to stay away from my mother. Tell me the truth. Were you sleeping with her? No. I told you not to have anything to do with my mother. She only came over after I called the police. Kelly stood on her toes so her face was even with Robert's, in the animal voice that said it would slit his throat, liar. You know I hate liars. Tell me the truth. Robert stepped back, his arms bent in defense mode, left arm guarding his groin, the right his chest. There was no sleeping involved. That was not the smartest way to phrase it. You son of a bitch. My mother is packed full of lies. You can't trust anything she says. I was taking care of my cousins. I was not in any mental institute. I'm not suicidal. And I'm not crazy. End of story. Got that. Robert remained in defense mode, so what about Janie? He needed to know. Real or imagined playmate, or an altern, Janie was important to understanding Kelly. Kelly's shoulders and arms dropped. Robert could hear Kelly as she let her breath out. What about her? Robert's arms opened up toward Kelly, his palms turned up. Is she real or not? You don't believe me, do you? I'm just getting different stories. Tell me about Janie. She's a friend of mine. Have her come over here so I can meet her. She's poor. She doesn't even drive or own a car. Can we go meet her? Tears welled up in Kelly's eyes. Shit, what is it with you? She lives in Wisconsin near the cottage. So, it's a long drive. I want the truth too, Kelly. Kelly wiped her cheeks. My mother has really gotten to you. She turned away and retreated to the window. I'm done with this, but I tell you what. Someday, you will meet Janie. Robert watched Kelly. Her head was shaking back and forth, her chest heaving. This was not what he had wanted. After a while, Kelly's breathing slowed, and she turned around. Her eyes and cheeks were wet. I didn't want to get into an argument. I thought you'd be happy to see me. I am happy to see you. I'm sorry. I don't want to argue either. Kelly walked up to Robert. When I got home last night, I couldn't wait to see you. I was so excited when I came over this morning. Robert put his hand on Kelly's wet cheek. I was happy to see you too. You didn't seem like it. Can we forget about this morning? Kelly didn't respond. Please. A do-over? Yeah. Kelly nodded. Okay, pal. Deal. Robert put his arms around Kelly's waist. So, where do we go from here? Before I left, we had started on a story you were illustrating. We had some poses where you took my clothes off and had me standing looking scared and trying to cover myself. Kelly put her mouth close to Robert's ear and whispered. When we ended, you were trying to convince me to let you tie me up. Well, there is a bondage scene. That's part of the story. But I understand you don't want to do that. That's okay. Kelly's mouth was still near Robert's ear. I'm ready to try it now. Kelly had modeled for Robert's illustrations for several months. She willingly posed in all sorts of compromising positions, it's all for the art, she would shrug, but she had always drawn the line at bondage. You have to really trust someone to let them tie you up. Wow. That's quite a change. I wasn't sure how helpless I wanted to be with you. I needed to get to know you better. You think you know me better now? Kelly nuzzled Robert's neck. I think so. Do you trust me? Let's find out. Robert wanted no questions. So, you okay with it? Naked and tied up by you? Sure. Who wouldn't be okay with that? We'll need to make it look real. I'll need to really tie you up. I know. I'll go buy some items, and we can start tomorrow. Wait, I'll be back in a minute. Meet you in the studio. Scene 2. Forget my mother. Kelly brought back some handcuffs and lengths of rope. You just happen to have bondage stuff lying around? Robert asked. Kelly giggled. A girl's gotta be prepared. These are the ones Janie got for me. They can hold you tight but leave no marks when you struggle and fight them. Kelly handed the cuffs and rope to Robert. The restraints were short, thick leather belts with a softer material around the inside. Each had a metal ring. They were tied together with a blue cord. There was a small lock on each that, when closed, would guarantee no one would escape them. Kelly took her clothes off and got on the table. I bet Elaine didn't let you tie her up. Is that what this is about? You're trying to one-up your mother? Forget my mother. Go ahead, pal, let's see what you can do. Robert took a length of rope and tied Kelly's feet together, then took another and fastened her feet to the table. He climbed on the table, took Kelly's arms, wrapped a cuff around each wrist, pulled it snug and buckled it. Kelly had been watching Robert's hands as he did this. She startled when Robert clicked the locks shut. Robert squeezed Kelly's hands. You okay? Kelly nodded. Robert tied a rope to the cord binding the cuffs together, then lifted Kelly's arms above her head and tied her to a hook in the beam. The hook, Robert knew, had been put there years ago for this very purpose. Kelly had been naked through most all of their other modeling shoots, so that was not new. But he was never this close. He was always at a distance with his camera or art easel. Now he touched Kelly's skin, heard her breathing, felt the heat of her body next to his, watched her heart beating through her chest. Kelly lowered her head and closed her eyes. She was so vulnerable, Robert wanted to lean down and kiss her, but he was afraid she might change her mind about doing the scene. He got off the table and set up his camera and tripod. Then directed Kelly. So, in this scene, you've been kidnapped, and you're trying to free yourself. Try to get loose. Kelly gave a half-hearted jerk to the handcuffs. Her legs tugged at the rope holding her to the table, her feet bent back and forth, twisting in the ropes, trying to free herself. Try harder. You need to look like you're struggling to escape but can't. I am trying. These are real. Struggle a little more, like you know you are trapped. This is your only chance to get away. Kelly closed her eyes and tightened her face as she semi-tried harder. I'm doing the best I can. Robert was getting frustrated and offered more direction. You need to look frantic. You've been kidnapped, he stripped off your clothes, and now you're naked and tied to that post. You don't know what your kidnapper is about to do to you. You've got to escape. It's your only chance. Kelly tugged at the rope. This is the best I can do. I can't get loose. You need to fight it more. Will you do like I'm telling you? Even fixed down with her arms bound above her head, Kelly wanted to be in control. I know how to do this. I'll do it my way. Robert moved away from the camera and stretched his arm to Kelly's feet that were tied to the table. Let's see about that. Then his fingers zigzagged up and down the bottoms of her feet. Kelly's legs jerked, her toes tried to grasp Robert's fingers to stop them, her feet wiggled back and forth. Kelly's face scrunched, her eyes locked shut as she fought to keep control. Robert took hold of Kelly's feet to hold them still while he continued to tickle her and she burst into squeals and howls. Her body jerked and twisted. She almost lifted herself off the table by her arms, trying to get away. Little pinpricks of light flashed as the camera snapped pictures. Her feet kicked at him. Oh shit. I hope you're having fun with this. Robert smiled. He was. He tightened the rope so Kelly couldn't move her legs at all. A few more, and his fingers wandered up and down Kelly's feet. Kelly squealed. Stop. Stop. Tried to take a breath. Please, stop. Robert went back to the camera to review the photos. That's really close to what I wanted. He moved back to the table and held his hand near Kelly's feet. Will you do what I tell you to now? Kelly started giggling, and her feet twitched, and she promised and did exactly what Robert asked. When he was done, Robert stepped to the camera to make some adjustments. Kelly was able to catch her breath. Robert, did you enjoy doing that to me? Robert's mouth was dry. He didn't answer. He picked up a water bottle, got on the table, and helped Kelly take a drink. Robert, do you like seeing girls tied up and helpless? Robert paused a moment before answering. Kelly liked honesty. There is a kind of vulnerability. Like when a girl is barefoot. It's a turn-on. Robert took a drink of water. The models tell me it works for them. They feel sexier because they don't have any responsibility. They just lay there, and things happen to them. Kelly tilted her head. I think it's working. I'm feeling really vulnerable right now, in a sexy kind of way. Robert got off the table and went back to make adjustments to the camera. Kelly continued to talk. You could do all kinds of wonderful, awful things to me, and I couldn't stop you. What would you think if I told you that kinda turns me on? My nipples are hard. I think you're making it hard for me to adjust the camera. My hands are shaking. Kelly giggled. Yeah, hard is what I was shooting for. Guys are so easy. Kelly pulled at the rope holding her wrist to the post. So what's the deal with this story? I've been captured, so I'm tied up, I got that. But why am I naked, other than this a story for guys to drool over? The girl has been kidnapped. Her father is refusing to pay the ransom. So the kidnapper puts her in embarrassing positions and does things to her. He sends pictures to the father to get him to pay. The father keeps refusing, so the kidnapper keeps putting the girl into more compromising situations. First, he took off her clothes and took pictures of her naked. Got that. That's what we did before I left for my aunt's. Right. That doesn't work. So the kidnapper ties her and tickles her feet. Robert laughed. That wasn't in the original story. I just made that up. Kelly scrunched her face at him. You shit. Robert was still laughing. I'll have the writer add that to the story. Kelly looked at Robert. God. Being tickled is like a 5-minute orgasm. Robert smiled. You're welcome. Anyway, that doesn't work. Father still refuses to pay. So the kidnapper takes pictures of him fondling the girl. No good, still no pay. He sends pictures of him masturbating the girl, forcing her to climax. Dad's a tough guy. He won't pay. So, the kidnapper makes love to the girl. Screws her, you mean? No, by this time, the kidnapper has fallen in love with the girl. He makes love to her. Dad's had enough, so he pays the ransom. The girl realizes she's never had such a big cock and never will again, so they take Dad's money and run off together. Kelly's eyes widened. She seems surprised in an amused sort of way. That's your story? Well, it's what someone wrote. Wow, and people think I live in a fantasy world. Kelly shifted her hips. So, we've done the naked tied up part, and the tickling part, the next step is the girl gets fondled part. What do you have in mind for that? Robert's face was hot, his ears red as Christmas ornaments. I guess we can fake that. Do something with Photoshop. Robert, come over here. I'm adjusting the camera. I know. Come here. Robert stepped to the table. Tell me again, after the girl is naked and tied up and tickled, what's the next part? Kelly asked. The kidnapper fondles her. Let's try that part. Robert almost dropped the camera as he repositioned it and set it to automatic mode. Then he got on the table next to Kelly and put his left arm around her back. Kelly seemed a little nervous and quipped, "You don't look like much of a kidnapper." "I don't think anyone will be looking at me." Robert's fingers started where the cuffs held Kelly's wrists against the post. Her arm quivered as Robert's fingers trailed down it. Her body stiffened as the fingers neared her armpit. "Please, no more tickling." Robert smiled. "We just need a couple of more shots." He lightly stroked Kelly, making her flinch and giggle. Up and down, again and again, up and down, up and down. Kelly was shuddering, her breathing quickened, she was covered with goosebumps. Robert's hand explored other parts of her, searching for her sensitive spots. Her nipples, she responded. Yes, that's a given, he'll come back to them often. Robert studied Kelly's reactions as his hand explored her. She had a touchy spot on the left, an inch or two below her belly button. Kelly flinched whenever Robert's fingers skimmed over that spot. Up her chest, a caress across her breasts, down her left side toward that spot. Kelly's body stiffened as the fingers neared and jerked when touched. Robert was fascinated by what he could do to her. His fingers tickled the spot, agitating Kelly. She was giggling and whimpering unrecognizable sounds, writhing and twisting, trying to escape Robert's fingers. He pulled her to him and held her tight so she couldn't move while his fingers continued to torment her. His hand climbed to Kelly's chest, brushed figure eights around her breasts, then pressed and fondled them. Kelly lay her head against the post, offering Robert her neck, which he kissed and licked as he continued playing with her. Kelly was moaning, her breathing heavy. Robert ran his hand up and down Kelly, massaging and stroking her side, her legs, his mouth nibbling, licking, sucking her breasts, his tongue circling her nipples, his breathing almost matching Kelly's. Kelly's feet tugged back and forth, straining at her bonds, pressing her legs together. Her voice was ragged. Do the next part. Robert's hand squeezed Kelly's breast, then wandered down her stomach to between her legs. He kept it there, pressing lightly while he kissed her cheek and ear. His fingers browsed around the outside of her, touching her folds, brushing them. Kelly turned her head to Robert, her mouth open. Robert explored it with his tongue. He put his fingers in Kelly's mouth, which Kelly licked and sucked. His wet fingers went back to Kelly, moved her folds apart, and explored. Kelly's body twitched, her breathing faster. Robert's mouth moved to one of Kelly's breasts, and he circled her nipple with his tongue. His fingers found her clit and moved up and down on it, circling it, flicking across it, occasionally, leisurely entering her for more wetness. Kelly clenched her mouth, moaning and mewing. Success. Kelly was no longer in control. Robert's left hand was under Kelly's buttocks. He felt her muscles clasping and unclasping in rhythm to the seesaw as fingers on his right hand played on her clitoris. Kelly was panting, her body stiffened, her arms pulled on the cuffs, her legs thrust out against the ropes. Her body became rock hard, breathing hard, fast, her mouth opening to take in air, then closing, her cheeks expanding as she forced it out, sucking in, blowing out, sucking in, blowing out. The muscles in her legs bunched. Her arms lifted her off the bench. Robert stopped for a moment, holding her there. Kelly gasped. Her feet clenched. Her head jerked back, her mouth opened, her body convulsed, and she screamed as Robert's fingers finished her, sliding up and down her clit. Robert held Kelly while she came down from her climax. She shivered as her muscles relaxed. Then he straddled her, a leg on each side of her. He smoothed hair from her face, dabbed tears from her cheeks. His arms reached around her, between her and the hard post, cushioning her, folding her collapsed body into him. Robert's cock was straining against his pants. He pressed into Kelly's stomach and moved up and down on her. Angel or demon, in the flesh girl, or shadow, he wanted her. Now. Right now. Robert placed kisses on Kelly's face. Kelly regained her breath. Good job, pal. You brought your A game this time. Robert untied Kelly's legs. She stretched and curled them on the table. Robert looked at Kelly. God, you're so beautiful. I want to possess every part of you. I could disappear into you. Robert slid his hand up and down Kelly's legs. The next part of the story is the kidnapper makes love to the girl. Please, not yet. I'm not ready for that. Your burglar takes you. There's nothing you could do to stop me. No, but you won't. Why not? Because I asked you not to. Chapter 21. Lucky guys. What does it feel like to come? Robert and Kelly were in the studio, and, as was her custom, Kelly was keeping up a fairly continuous sexual dialogue while Robert worked. You know, come, ejaculate, climax, spurt. Have an orgasm. I know what it means. You just amaze me when you come up with that stuff out of the blue. Are you always thinking about sex? Pretty much. Don't guys? Don't you? Robert laughed. Yeah, pretty much. Kelly looked at Robert's pants. I can tell you are now. That happens sometimes. Kelly grinned. I'd like to think I had something to do with it. Kelly was quiet for a moment, watching Robert concentrate on his painting. She got bored. I was thinking about when you tied me up and made me climax. Robert was listening, if not responding. Kelly sat up and propped her chin on her hands as she continued. When you did me, your face got so red. I expected you to come in your shorts. Remember how big you got? Robert adjusted his pants. Yeah, I can see you're remembering. Common. So what's it like to come? Is it like when a girl has an orgasm? To tell the truth, when it's happening, I'm not taking notes. How about if I tie you up now and make you come? Robert didn't respond. He's on a deadline, his mouth was dry. Then you can tell me what you're going through while you come. Okay. Okay. Enough. Robert set his paintbrush down. To answer your question, it's the greatest, really indescribable feeling, better than any drug. If guys were getting laid, there would be no crime. We'd all be lying around with big satisfied grins on our faces. There'd be no wars. Only frustrated guys who were not getting any start wars. Yeah. Well, then Janie and I did our part for world peace. Oh, so now we're going to get into Janie? Do you want to listen to this or not? It's just that the last time we talked about her, we got in a fight. Only because you didn't believe she was real. Janie would take offense to that. Robert picked up his paintbrush and went back to work. Okay. You're going to tell me anyway. Kelly perked up. Okay. Great. Then she settled down on the table and arranged her hands in her lap. She adjusted herself a couple of times. This was going to be a long story. I realized, when I was 15, that I was afraid of boys. Robert peered at Kelly, his brow furrowed. I know. I know. I was a little retarded. Most of my friends from school had already had sex with their boyfriends. But I was always kind of nervous about it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to imply anything. It's hard for me to imagine you afraid of anything. Yeah, well, boys, it was. Anyway, Janie said she'd teach me about boys and that I didn't need to be afraid of them. We found a large flat rock a little way from the abandoned cabin and brought some bondage stuff there and set it up. We liked the shape of the rock. It could keep their arms stretched out above their heads, that left their sides exposed. There? The boys, silly. Don't interrupt. The foot of it was wide. We could spread their legs apart, so their balls were handy. Kelly giggled, literally and figuratively. Kelly leaned toward Robert. We could tighten their arms and legs down so they couldn't move at all, or leave some slack so we could watch them struggle a little and let them think they might get away. That was always fun. Our plan was pretty much the same for all of them. Promise some great sex, take them out to our secret place, get their clothes off, chain them down to our rock, then torment them. We'd meet them down by the road and blindfold them and then lead them up the trail. We wanted to keep the place a secret, if possible. Sometimes we'd leave the blindfold on. Sometimes, after we got them tied down, we'd take it off. It was Janie's job to find the boys. She'd prowl the town for them. For the first one, she picked a guy that was pretty confident of himself and cocky. She promised him a sexual experience he would remember for the rest of his life. He was game. We led him blindfolded to the place. He became hesitant, but Janie kept whispering in his ear and touching his crotch, so he did what we told him. After we tied him to the rock, he tried to get free. He must have assumed we were kidding until then. He had changed his mind. Let me go. We told him it was too late and to hang on. Janie had me do him. She showed me a few things, but I was nervous, and he came fairly quickly. Afterward, Janie said that was more fun for him than for us. She would do the next one. It's more entertaining when they suffer for a while, she said. Janie did the second boy. He was a talker and a yeller. The things he called us made even Janie blush. We were deep in the woods, but even so, we were afraid someone might discover us. Janie had me sit by his head and cover his mouth with my hand whenever he got too loud. When he came, I had to hold him tight and keep my hand on his mouth. I could feel his head shuddering in my arms, his breath sucking in and out through my fingers, his muffled cries. God, that's still a turn on. After that, we brought a gag with us and just gagged them at the start. I got better with practice. You can't imagine the sounds a boy makes when he's not allowed to come for several hours. We would make them promise to keep a few rules before finishing them off. Keep the location a secret, don't try to find it. Don't talk about it to the other guys in town. If they see us in town, pretend nothing happened. Don't talk to us about it. The promises were made under duress, but surprisingly all were kept except for the talking to others. The word about what we were doing spread pretty rapidly. We decided to do the football team, starting with the offensive line and go through to the quarterback. We would either make them wait, keep them on edge, or force them to come over and over, making them beg and plead, please stop. I can't take any more, was one of our favorites. In either case, we'd keep at it for several hours until we had exhausted them. Kelly slid off the table. One would think after the word spread about what we were doing to the boys, no one would come near us. She sashayed toward Robert. One would think no boy would let us take them into the woods. Kelly looked down, smiling, swung her hips as she took another step toward Robert. One would think no boy would let us strip and chain him to that big rock. Kelly stepped to Robert and looked up at him. He could feel her breath on his face. One would be wrong. They were like moths to a flame. They flitted around us, wanting to be the next to be burned. Robert was deep in the woods near a large rock, his mouth dry, his face hot, his ears burning. Lucky guys. Oh, do you think they're lucky guys? Kelly looked at the bulge in Robert's pants and reached down and touched him. Yeah. I guess you do. Kelly moved back a couple of steps from Robert. We tired of it after a while. Really, it became boring. But we kept having guys come up to us. How to end it? We decided on a glorious climax. Kelly giggled. So to speak. That rock became our altar. We would sacrifice a boy for the sins of all mankind. Janie got our offering, and we fixed him down on the rock. She made him repeat after her. What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice. And everything nice. What are little boys made of? Frogs and snails. And puppy dogs' tails. The boy was getting nervous. She put the gag on him and made him repeat the rhyme. She made him do it over and over until he could make himself understood. He had to work at it. He was crying. It was pretty hilarious. Then she reached into the bag of our gear and drew out a knife. The boy's eyes got big. He mumbled through the gag. I could tell what he said. What's that for? Janie leaned down and whispered in his ear. That started his muffled begging, oh no, please don't. She put the blindfold on him. He was struggling to break free. What did she say to him? Robert asked. That she was going to cut his balls off if he came. She started stroking him and chanting. Kiss the boys and make them cry, make them cry, make them cry. She kept chanting and stroking him while running the blade up and down his chest. Then she'd touch other parts of him with it. She didn't cut him, but he'd wince wherever it touched him. He started bawling. He was shaking his head back and forth, struggling not to come. But Janie kept going faster and harder, chanting as she worked him. She slipped the knife between his legs and held the flat of the blade against his balls. You better not come. You better not come. Janie yelled at him while she continued stroking him. I was afraid she really would cut his balls off. Don't do it, I shouted over her chanting. You are crazy. She yelled back. Yes, I am. That made the boy cry even harder. His body went into contortions, as much as his restraints would let him. I drew his head into my chest and held him. He tried to shake free, but I held him tighter so he couldn't move at all. He screamed. Even with the gag, he was loud. I covered his mouth. I didn't want to hear how he sounded when she cut his balls off. MMMMPH. 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 He muffed through his gag, then erupted great gobs of cum all over himself. Janie spread that over his chest and stomach with her knife. The boy broke down sobbing. She didn't really cut his balls off, Robert hadn't realized he had been holding his breath, so that came out more forcefully than he had intended, did she? Kelly shook her head. No. But she sacrificed him 3 more times that day, the last time he had nothing left, he was convulsing, but nothing came out. Kelly stepped up to Robert. I spoke to Janie about you. She said she'd like to do you. Robert managed a nervous snort. Oh, thanks, but I'm not interested in having my balls cut off. Yeah, that had the same effect on the other boys in town. We haven't heard from them since. I promised you someday you would meet Janie. Kelly stroked Robert's crotch. Robert had lost his erection during the sacrifice story, but Kelly's fingers brought it back. Janie would be nice to you. I'd make sure of that. She squeezed him. You tie girls up and take pictures. You put them through all sorts of interesting things. Wouldn't you like to know how it feels? Tomorrow we can go to the cottage, and I'll introduce you to Janie, and she'll make you a lucky guy. Kelly continued to rub the bulge in Robert's pants while talking, causing his muscles to jerk, his cock twitching at her touch. Robert closed his eyes as Kelly manipulated him. You want to be tied down, don't you? You have a fantasy of that, of being helpless while a girl takes her time with you, slowly bringing you to a mad, fiery place you've never been. Kelly locked her arms around Robert's neck. Your fantasy is about to come true, pal. Chapter 22. The Cottage. Scene 1. Driving to the cottage. They had planned on Kelly driving since Robert did not know the way. But at the last minute, Kelly said her car was being repaired. They would have to take Robert's. Kelly gave directions. Head west on Willow to where it hits 294, then south a few miles to the Jane Addams. Isn't that a toll road? There's a couple of booths. I brought some money. During the drive, Kelly took off her shoes and sat cross-legged on the seat. Robert glanced down. Kelly laughed. You're checking out my legs. I'm naked in front of you all day, and you're still checking out my legs. Robert grinned. It's a guy thing. A girl crosses her legs, a guy looks, it's automatic. Kelly laughed. Guys are so easy. Besides, you have nice legs. Perfect. Kelly's smile faded, and she didn't quip back some sexually loaded innuendo as Robert had expected. Instead, she curled up and stared out the windshield. She came back a few minutes later, smiled at Robert, took his hand, and held it on her leg. It was quiet for a while, but Kelly is never comfortable with quiet for long. I don't think we were mean. What are you talking about? The boys we tied up and played with. We gave them a sexual experience to remember, all right. Kelly smirked. A fantasy they'll still be jerking off to in their old age. Robert faked a grimace and shook his head. Kelly looked at Robert like she was serious. I don't consider that was mean, do you? Kelly patted Robert's hand that was still on her leg and smiled. Will you let us know after we're done with you? Robert could see Kelly was having a very good time with this, somewhat at his expense. Kelly chirped on. We weren't mean at all. Except for the one we played the sacrifice game with, our last one, I told you about him. Well, and maybe that other boy too. Robert was about to personally experience what Janie and Kelly considered was and was not mean. He was more than curious. What other boy? What did you do to him? One day, we got a boy and fastened him down. I licked and teased his nipples while Janie played with his balls. Never touched his cock except to occasionally make it twitch. After a few hours, we let him go. We never let him come. He was so angry. We thought it was funny. I know what he'll be doing when he gets home tonight, Janie said. Robert was wondering what he'd be doing in a few hours. That was mean. He was a nerd. He was a virgin then and probably still is. Why would you say that? All nerds are virgins. That's probably not true. I'm pretty nerdy. You are a little. That's what I like about you. Kelly looked at Robert. And we know you're not a virgin. Robert was quiet. This may not go well. Kelly looked out the side. Thanks to my mother. Oh, Kelly? I hoped we already went over that. Can't we put it behind us? Kelly looked back at Robert. I am over it. Now I'm just interested in keeping score. So, besides my mother, how many girls have you screwed? I'm not going to get into my sex life. Oh, come on, this is fun. Forget it. Kelly was squeaky happy. Oh, remember the girl you asked me about, the one at my party? Robert sat up in his seat. Sydney? Yeah. Sydney. Janie says she knows Sydney. They talk sometimes. So what about? What can you tell me about her? Nothing more, really. She's Janie's friend, not mine. You can ask Janie about her. Robert planned to do just that. Sydney was why he was in Chicago. Why, if you follow the chain, he was even staying at the gallows. He would talk to Janie all right. Kelly was looking out the window. She told Janie you screwed her. Robert leaned back in his seat. Kelly, that sounds crude. It wasn't like that. So you admit that one. That's two. How many others were there? I don't want to talk about it. Were you a virgin before Sydney? Oh, shit. If you need to know. No. So how many girls have you had? Are we going to keep talking about my sex life? Yes. Okay. Besides those two. One? One special one. One special girl? What's her name? Tell me about her. No way. I can't imagine what comment you'd have about her, and the last thing I'd give you is her name. Well, you brought her up. But okay, don't tell me now. Janie and I will make you talk later. Guys aren't that easy. Oh? You can't make a guy tell you what you want just by playing your sex games with him. Okay. A guy can take a lot. Whatever you say. I guess we'll find out in a couple of hours. Robert's bravado left him. Kelly was quiet for a while, then said, about that virginity thing. Oh, God, Kelly. Will you drop it? No. Not you. Not guys. Girls. Why do guys make such a big deal out of it? Out if a girl's a virgin? Guys don't think that's such a big deal anymore. Sure they do. I overhear guys talking. What do you think? She's not a virgin. They say it disparagingly. Why is that? Well, it just means the girl puts out, so don't get serious about her. But listen, that's just locker room talk. If a guy is serious about a girl, it doesn't matter if she's not a virgin. But it's better if she is, right? No, not really. Yeah. Maybe. I suppose. See? Why is that? You guys can screw around, and it's like you get to put notches on your gun. Kelly laughed. I guess that wouldn't happen more than once if your gun did get a notch. Kelly patted Robert's hand that was still on her thigh. Sorry, my mind was picturing that. But the point is, it's all right for a guy to have slept around, but not a girl. Kelly, it's okay. Like I said, that's not what guys are concerned about. Kelly looked at Robert and squeezed his hand. What do you think? Robert could see Kelly was serious this time. I think I just told you. No. Not what guys think. Kelly said quietly. What you think? I want to know what you think. Robert squeezed Kelly's leg. I don't think virginity is a physical thing. It's a matter of the heart. It's a purity of the heart. If a girl is raped, can she still be a virgin? So this is about Jerk Travis. Kelly, purity is in you. It's what you are. It's something you can share with someone, give to them if you want. It's not something that can be taken from you. Kelly nodded her head. Then I guess I'm still a virgin. Robert was pleased. They continued driving north toward the Wisconsin border. Kelly took Robert's hand, kissed it, and put it back on her leg. Thanks, Robert. You're a pornographer with a moral compass. Robert laughed. Yeah, a boring nerd, always pointing north. They crossed into Wisconsin. Kelly had Robert turn east onto Interstate 43. They drove half an hour, then onto a county road, which they followed for another half hour. Kelly whispered like she was telling a secret. Robert, I'm sorry. Sorry about what? Kelly shook her head and looked out the window. Robert decided not to press her and changed the subject. This seems like a long way around. There is a shorter way, but it's over some back roads. This is easier. Besides, we can go faster on the interstate, so it's probably about the same amount of time. This way, you'll be able to remember how to get here. So, why would I need to remember how to get here? Kelly ignored the question. She was peering out the window, excited as a young girl. There, see that large rock? Turn left, then it's a mile down the road. When I was a child, I named that rock the meteorite. It had fallen out of the sky, so it could point our way to the cottage. That's probably a rock dumped here at the end of the last ice age, Robert told her. When the ice sheet retreated, it left everything behind. It's called an erratic. An erratic? That's a weird name. Where'd they come up with that? I don't know. It's a rock brought here by a glacier from someplace else. It doesn't belong here. Robert smiled. Like me. Anyway, bulldozers would have removed the rest of the erratics when they built this road. Boy, talk about taking all the magic out of it. Kelly looked out the window. See, after 1 mile, there's that little pull-off area, parked there. We can walk up the hill to the cottage from there. We won't pull into the drive. I want to make sure the housekeeper's not in. I don't want her telling Sam and Elaine we came up here. So, would that make them angry? Not if they don't know. Scene 2. Climbing the hill. Kelly started up the hill. It's not hard to get to the cottage if you stay on this path. Don't get off cause it's like a jungle out there and can get a little steep in places. Robert started after her. That's what I was saying. When the ice sheet retreated, it left piles of dirt and rock. That's what formed this hill. Kelly didn't turn around. Okay. The glacier covered Canada, where it was 2 miles thick, and flowed down from there. For 50,000 years, it advanced, a monstrous sheet of ice, changing the course of rivers, plowing down hills, and building up new ones. It created and filled the Great Lakes. It was relentless. It kept on coming, unstoppable, until it got here. And then it stopped. Kelly continued climbing, aha. Robert considered himself very impressive. He had read an article about the last ice age in the Laurentide ice sheet before starting his soul search travels. Mastodons, mammoths, dire wolves, saber-toothed tigers lived at the foot of it. People lived here too. Hunting the animals. Kelly stopped and turned. Look around. Who do you see? Robert was confused by the question. They were the only ones on the hill. Kelly turned away and continued up. No one who's interested in what you're saying? That was a little harsh. Kelly turned her head and smiled. Your glacier's a yawner, Bob. Besides, that's for taking my meteorite away. They reached the cottage. A code box was on the door. Come here. I'll show you how to disable the alarm and open the door. It's easy to remember, cross your heart. Kelly pushed a number at each corner of the pad, 1, 9, 3. And hope to die. She pushed the 7 button at the lower left corner. The door clicked and opened a crack. Kelly turned and smiled at Robert. Now you can be a successful burglar. I'll bet 80% of the alarms in America use that code. Kelly held on to the door. The alarm system is the only protection now. Limestone used to live here. He'd wander around and guard the house and yard. That's the dog in the picture on your bedstand? Yeah. Probably a good thing he's not here now. He was vicious. He would have torn your throat apart. Robert felt his throat, yeah, good thing. He disliked me a lot. But he'd go insane when Janie would appear. So, why do you have a picture of him? I've told you, silly. As a memento. What happened to him? He died. I didn't think Sam had any emotions except anger. But he really loved that dog. He cried when it died. What did it die from? Kelly gave a little shrug and pushed the door open. I think Janie poisoned it. Scene 3. Making limeade. Kelly led Robert to the kitchen. Let's make some limeade. There should be some limes in the refrigerator. You can use that cutting board. There's a knife in that drawer over there. Robert pulled out a small knife. Kelly nodded toward the drawer. No, use that bigger one. Robert held up a larger knife. Yeah, that one. Kelly got out 2 glasses and a jar of sugar and made the limeade. They stood leaning against the kitchen counter. All my happiest memories are from here. I would always hate the end of summer, and I would have to leave here for the last time, at least until the next summer. Yeah, I hate last times. I love first times. Robert took a drink of his limeade. Every first time carries the last time within it. Okay, that's a downer thought. Sorry, it's just reality. The day begins, the day ends. The sun rises, the sun sets. Robert shrugged. We're born, we die. I was thinking of more fun first times. Kelly nudged Robert with her hip. How about the first time you made love? Robert laughed, not going to work, Kelly. We're not getting back into my sex life. Kelly laughed too, thought I'd give it a try. She sipped her limeade. I remember the first time I did something fun, met someone. Went somewhere, but not the last time. Why is that? Because the first time, you knew it was the first time. But that last time, you didn't know it would be the last. Maybe you'll come back here again. Maybe you'll meet this person another time. Maybe you'll live to tomorrow. Kelly clinked her glass against Robert's. "Well, this is my first time here with you, and I will remember it." She looked out at the kitchen. "I wonder if I'll know when it's our last time." Kelly took a sip of her limeade. "By the way, I called Janie, she's out of town today, so we won't be able to get together with her."
"Oh, when did you call her?"
"You've been with me since we left, and you didn't make any calls. You must not have been paying attention." Robert put his glass down. "Kelly, I don't care if there's no Janie. If she's just something you have to help you get through the day." Kelly looked at Robert. "You still don't believe me?"
"Don't believe what? Your stories about you and Janie, that she's real, or that she's out of town today?
Do you believe what I tell you or not?
There is a Janie, and what I've told you about her is true."
"So, when did you last see her?"
"If you must know, last summer.
We stopped seeing each other after that."
"Why?
What happened?
Why did you stop seeing her?"
"Jesus. Sam found out we were still getting together. He confronted her. I don't know what he said or did."
Kelly shrugged. "Maybe it was about limestone.
She wouldn't talk about it. She just said we couldn't see each other anymore.
So, end of story, pal.
And you had been doing so well.
Drop the Janie thing."
"All right. I'm sorry. I don't want another fight over Janie.
It doesn't matter. I just want to be here with you today."
Kelly beamed. "It's a beautiful day, and I'm happy to be here with you too. Let me show you around." They climbed the stairs to the second floor. "This is Elaine and Sam's bedroom." Kelly bounced onto the bed. "I've always loved this room. It's so light."
Robert was near laughing with joy at Kelly.
"You make it light." As they were leaving the room, Kelly looked in the mirror on the dresser. "Have you ever wondered about mirrors? Everything is in reverse. Do they show us who we want to be, or who we really are?"
Robert stood behind Kelly and addressed the mirror. "Oh mirror, mirror on the wall, show me who I really am."
He laughed. "I'm afraid for me it's just reality staring me back in the face."
"Do you know what I see?"
Kelly asked. Then she turned from the mirror to look at Robert.
"That you love me," she whispered.
"Yes. Now, let me show you my room." Chapter 23. Old Man Johnston. Kelly danced into her room.
"I love this room," she chimed.
"Wow, you even have windows." Kelly skipped over Robert's reference to her windowless bedroom in the mansion.
"Well, sure, and I have a great view."
She opened one of the windows, and a soft breeze came off the lake and played about her hair. Kelly pushed Robert toward her bed.
"Take off your clothes and get on the bed while I get some rope from the garage. I'll show you I don't need Janie to make you a lucky guy.
I don't need Janie either.
And I don't want some kinky sex thing.
I want you. I want more for us." Robert put his arms around Kelly's waist.
"Let's make love."
Kelly stepped back. Robert took hold of her braids.
"Don't get mad this time.
We need to talk about this.
I'm going to hold on to you until you talk to me."
"I don't want to. Can we make love, or can we at least talk about it?"
Kelly took hold of Robert's hands but didn't pull them away from her hair.
"Neither. Tread carefully, Robert." "The last time they had this conversation, she said she would slit his throat."
"Kelly, it's okay. I deserve to know."
Kelly didn't respond. Robert tugged gently on Kelly's braids.
"The mirror didn't lie. I love you."
Kelly looked so sad and forlorn, Robert wished he had never brought it up.
"I'm afraid."
Robert let go of Kelly's hair and held her face in his hands.
"Kelly, it's okay. I can wait. Please trust me. Tell me what happened to you."
Kelly looked at Robert, studying his eyes. Then she nodded her head and walked over to a window away from the lake.
"Look out there. You see that path?"
"Yeah. That's the way we took to get up here. That path leads down toward the road, and a little further, to Johnston's cabin."
Robert noticed Kelly didn't refer to him as Old Man Johnston. Elaine and Sam were always out socializing or sleeping in late. They left me pretty much alone when we were up here, which was fine with me. The word from the kids in town was to stay away from old man Johnston, he was mean. When I was 12, I decided to see for myself. I got up the nerve and went down that path. If ever a place radiated my most happiness, it was this cottage. If ever a place reflected my deepest despair, it was his wretched shack. The sun was all about. But the forest had grown up around his place and kept it in darkness. No light reached it. I hid outside his cabin. I just wanted to see what he looked like. He came up behind me. "So girl, you want to see what mean old man Johnston looks like?" He scared me. I didn't say anything. I was afraid he would grab me. His lips covered his teeth, so he looked like a corpse when he smiled. Then he walked on by me. "Well, girl, you can stay out here staring, run away and tell your friends you saw me, or come in and see what my place looks like. That would give you something to brag about." I don't know why I didn't run. I guess I was curious. Sam hated him, that was a good thing. So I went in. It surprised me. Elaine has every nook and cranny in the mansion covered with stuff. "Wow, you don't have anything here." I just blurted that out. "I have simple needs, and I need very little. I do have some tea if you would like." He made tea. "I wish we had some cookies," he said, "that would go good with this." "I know how to make cookies," I volunteered. And I did. That became our pattern for the summer. I would go over to his place several times a week. He would make tea, and I would bake cookies, and we would sit and talk. He had traveled a lot and told me stories about his trips around the world. He had albums of photographs he had taken, and I would sit next to him on his couch, looking at them while he told me the stories about the exotic places he had been. I watched him and learned about him. I realized there was nothing about him accidental. Everything he did had a purpose. One time, he asked me if I had told my parents I was coming over to see him. I told him no, I hardly ever saw them. He said it should probably be a secret between us. I asked if that wouldn't be lying. He said keeping a secret wasn't lying. The next summer was pretty much the same. I enjoyed visiting with him. He took an interest in me and my feelings and what was important to me. Robert interjected. "Unlike Sam and Elaine." "Yes. Unlike them?" I have to say, I knew he looked at me. But I felt safe. I'd flirt with him. He told me I had beautiful legs. "I'm only 13, I said. "It doesn't matter. The shape of the leg is what you're born with. Very few girls have perfect legs, you do." After that, I always wore short skirts and pranced around barefoot and singing. I liked the attention he gave me. He told me I was a nymph. I didn't understand what that meant. He took down a book. It was called Lolita. "The book you have in your room at your house?" Robert asked. Kelly didn't answer. She was searching through her desk. He read a part from it. Later I wrote that out. Kelly removed a sheet of paper from the desk drawer and read from it. "Now I wish to introduce the following idea. Between the age limits of 9 and 14, there occur maidens who, to certain bewitched travelers, twice or many times older than they reveal their true nature, which is not human, but nymphic, that is, demoniac, and these chosen creatures I propose to designate as nymphettes." I told him that seemed strange. I didn't like it. I disagreed with him. "Oh. That's not me." But over my visits with him, I came to understand that it was. We would play our little game. I would go over, and we would have cookies and tea. I would flirt, and he would pretend not to notice. By the time I was 14, I was filling out. My breasts had developed. That summer, when I went over to Johnston's, he mentioned how grown up I was looking. We baked cookies and made tea as before. I would stand close to him, my breasts occasionally accidentally pressing against him. "Oh," I teased him mercilessly. While we were sitting on his couch, he put his arm around me. He had done that in the past, but only to give a little hug when I would tell a joke. This time he held on. He was strong, He brushed his fingers on my arms. It caused goosebumps. Then he moved up and down my legs, more goosebumps. I squirmed.
Does this hurt?
No, it tickles.
Tickling can't hurt you.
That's how the Chinese torture their prisoners. That was a pretty dumb comment, but I was trying to say something to get him to stop.
What?
He said. I heard it can kill you.
Well, that's silly. Tell me if it hurts, and I'll stop.
He kept it up, making me uncomfortable. I tried to wiggle away. But he held me tight and put his hand on my breasts. He squeezed them a few times. It scared me, and I jumped and tried to break away. But he held me even tighter while he moved his hand on me. I begged him to stop. But all he would say is that it was all right. He wasn't going to hurt me. He started breathing harder, even though I was the one doing all the struggling. I had seen enough TV and heard some of the stories from kids at school, so I realized what was happening. I saw he was big under his pants. Then he moved his hand up my leg and under my skirt and scratched his fingers on my panties, making me twitch and jump.
Does this hurt?
He actually was being gentle with me, and it didn't hurt. I didn't want to lie, so I said no. I know, I'm not going to hurt you. His fingers kept moving on me, sometimes up and down, sometimes in little circles, sometimes back to the scratching. I stopped struggling and closed my eyes. I had done it to myself before, but this was the first time someone did it to me. This was even before Janie and me.
Kelly shrugged.
His fingers never stopped moving. I was breathing fast, like running a race. It was so hot, I was burning up. I was furious at what he was doing to me, and I couldn't stop him, embarrassed my body was responding to him, ashamed that he could make me like that. I buried my head in his chest and clenched my teeth, stiffened, then shuddered and climaxed. He held me until I stopped shivering. I think I was crying. This has to be our secret. I will be in a lot of trouble if anyone finds out. If you tell anyone, I'll have to hurt them. Do you understand? I nodded. If you tell your mother, I'll kill her. Do you understand? He didn't mention Sam. I guess he knew I didn't care if he killed Sam. I nodded yes again. Then he let me go. I want you to come back tomorrow. Do you understand? I still couldn't talk. I nodded yes, and left. I told no one. I was afraid he would do what he said he would. I remembered the kids in town all being afraid of him. Anyway, I did go back, and every few days afterward, as he would direct. When I got there, we would have tea and cookies, can you believe it? Then he would lead me to the couch. At first, it was the same as the first time. But after a while, he would take off my clothes. First, my top and bra, later, my skirt and panties. After a couple of weeks or so of that, after he made me climax, he said, "Now it's my turn." Fellatio is what he called it. Kind of a polite word for suck my dick. He opened the zipper of his pants and pulled out his penis. He held my head real tight and put it in my mouth. When he came, he kept my head against him, so I had to swallow him. Robert's jaw was tight, his face felt hot. He wanted to say something, anything, but held back. Kelly needed to tell this. It wasn't too many days, and we went even further. While I was still wet from what he had done to me, he'd carry me to his bed and arrange me on it. He didn't use protection. I asked about that, hoping it would stop him. It didn't. He said he was fixed, like a dog, and he couldn't get me pregnant. Robert's mouth was so dry he could hardly talk.
Did he?
Came out in a hoarse whisper.
Did what?
Get you pregnant? Kelly looked at Robert, a blank stare.
No.
Why would you ask that? She furrowed her eyebrows. I stayed away from him for the rest of the summer. I'm sure that made him mad. But there was no way he could contact me without giving himself away. The next summer, I asked Elaine if I could stay home and not go to the cottage. She said, no, and made me go. A few days after we had gotten here, I was hanging out in town. I was a Lakey, the townies didn't like Lakeys, so I was sitting alone. I was worried about Johnston. I hadn't gone over to his place and was hoping he had forgotten about me. Janie came over and sat down beside me. We were drinking pops when Johnston walked by the table. Janie turned her head away and put her hand up to the side of her face that was toward Johnston, pretending to fix her hair. Johnston stood there a moment, looking at me. I knew what that look meant. Janie saw it too, through her fingers. "You're not going over to his place?" she asked. I just kind of looked at her. The next day I did. We started in as we had left it. Cookies, tea, sex. That's pretty much how I spent every few days of my summers. He would tell me when he would want me again, and I would go over. Robert took Kelly's hand. How long did that go on? 17 was a little different. 17. You're still? Robert, I'm almost through this. Let me finish. Robert nodded, and Kelly continued. Johnston had me come over less often. Maybe only once or twice a week. He eventually told me he was having heart problems, and his doctors had told him to take it easy. It also seemed to take longer to get him to come. Kelly lifted one of her braids and brushed it against her lips. Although I was pretty good at it by then. I suppose my 18 and 19th years were about the same. Are you still seeing him? Robert asked. The last time was when I was 20. Last year? Just before we met? At the start of the vacation, I had gone over to his place. He looked frailer than I had remembered. He tried to have sex with me, but couldn't. He said his heart problem was getting worse. I felt pity, scorn, even hatred. I told him I wasn't going to come over anymore. He got angry. He said he would kill my mother if I stopped coming. Go ahead. Go ahead with my mother. I challenged him. I wish you would. He had threatened me before, but he and I always knew that it would finish him if I reported him. He lived in constant fear I would tell on him. I left and haven't seen him since. Why didn't you report him? I don't know. Fear, shame. Maybe I blamed myself for flirting with him, perhaps it was my fault. Kelly threw her arms out to her sides. I suppose I didn't want him to be in trouble. He had been the only adult to ever care about me for years. Kelly, he abused you for years. Really, not all of them, not all the time. You're still trying to protect him. He's a typical abuser. He'd been grooming you. In a way, he subjected himself to me. Him wanting me so badly gave me control over him. He wanted me to want him. His obsession was my power. Kelly had been impassive as she recited her story, as if she was describing a not very interesting TV show. Now bitterness crept into her voice. Ironic, isn't it? So, was he the spider in the web, or the fly? Kelly had stood looking out the window while she talked about Johnston. Now she turned to look at Robert. Her eyes were wet. I told you I was a virgin when Travis raped me. That wasn't true. I was a virgin until Johnston. Kelly stood looking at Robert, her arms dropped to her sides. She didn't hide the tears that flowed down her face. Robert had never seen her so naked. Breaking sobs came from her. I'm still a virgin to you. Robert took hold of Kelly, and her knees bent as if she would fall. Robert held her in his arms. He felt her tears on his cheek, her hair, that he was stroking, became wet from his own. Her body was shaking. He held her tightly. Now was not the time to question Kelly, and Robert had plenty of questions. Elaine had told him that Kelly got pregnant when she was 14. Johnston said he had been fixed, he didn't need to use protection. Of course, he could have lied about that. So, did Johnston get Kelly pregnant? Kelly stopped crying, and her body quieted in Robert's arms. But a rage was rising in Robert. He had once told Kelly he could kill Travis if that would prevent Travis from raping her. That was no longer true. He was beyond that, Robert now knew he could just kill. Robert led Kelly to her bed. They lay crossways, their backs against the wall. Kelly was exhausted after telling her story and nestled against Robert, her chest rising and falling in his arms. Shadows fell across the room as the sun set behind the lake, the golden glow faded to silver, and all was quiet except for Kelly's light snoring. A breeze drifted through the window Kelly had opened, washing the room with the smell of the summer, and of the lake, and of the hardwood oak trees that grew along its shore. And Robert felt like a lucky guy, a very lucky guy indeed. Chapter 24. Night Angel. Scene 1. Maybe Kelly's the artist. Glorious, glorious, glorious. The days after coming back from the cottage were, well, just crazy glorious. Kelly had trusted him with her most private secret. He understood now her reluctance to make love with him. He could wait. Robert was working on a painting while Kelly wandered about the studio like a soft kitten. She found a canvas. What's this? Something I was doing earlier, last fall. It's weird. What is it? It's not weird. It's allegorical. What's that? Look, the ocean represents life, the source of life. Where everything comes from. The girl's on an empty beach. She's alone. The egg represents fertility. She's about to enter womanhood. She's not sure she wants to, but she has no choice. Her hands are tied behind her back. The broken hourglass, for her, time has run out. She is chained to the marital bed. This is to be her life. I think it's weird. Robert continued with his painting. That's fine. Think what you want. People don't want your allegorical. They want to see things as they are. The truth. They want reality. Oh? How many movies have you seen where in the morning the couple wake up in bed together and start to make mad, passionate love? All the good ones. Yeah, and in how many is one of them thinking, I have to fart, pee, and you have bad breath? Kelly had been doodling on a canvas while they were talking. Okay, you want fantasy, you know what I think? So now you're an art critic, please tell me. I think the hourglass is a space-time machine. She has crash-landed on an alien planet. The masters of the planet tied her next to their pet egg. Kelly held up her sketch. So it will have something to eat when it hatches. Robert laughed. That's pretty good. Maybe you're the artist around here. Kelly laughed too. Sure, take your clothes off and get up on the table, and I'll throw some paint on you. Robert went back to what he was working on while Kelly continued her wanderings. She found another canvas. What's this? Just something I work on from time to time. She's pretty. Tell me about her. What makes you think there's a her? Oh, this girl meant something to you. This is the one, isn't she? Robert didn't answer. This is your special one. The one you didn't want to tell me about. What's her name again? Nice try. I've already told you, I'm not going to tell you her name. Well, what do you call your painting? I don't know. I haven't named it yet. Night Angel. Night Angel? Yeah, I'm naming her, Night Angel. Do you know what a Night Angel is? No, but I'm sure you're about to tell me. She's a young nymphette. You have a chance encounter with her in the street. Perhaps she's accidentally dropped a package that you picked up for her, then a touch, and a spell is cast. That night you are so tired, you can barely make it to bed. You fall into a deep sleep. Then she comes to you and ties you to your bed. She waits, watching you. She can be anything she wants, your playmate, your temptress, a tormentor, an avenger for the sins of men, and all men have sinned, by the way. Then she wakes you. A night angel drives a man out of his mind with passion, a passion that only she can satisfy. She keeps him unsated, waiting for her to return to him. Wait a minute, what does that mean, unsated? It means she has become irresistible to him. He is so enamored by her he will do anything to possess her. The stronger the male, the greater his ultimate and inevitable capitulation to her. He may be alpha male, but his obsessive passion for her puts her in control. He becomes her slave. To prove his love, he must wait for her return before his lust can be abated. Robert was listening to Kelly's story. For how long? Forever, Robert. She has enchanted him. He is under her spell forever. Robert chuckled. That's not what I was thinking when I painted it, Kelly. You have a very vivid imagination for storytelling. You know I only like the truth. I don't make up stories. I know my stories are made up. I'm not so sure about yours. Did your girl look like this painting? Robert didn't want to discuss the girl. In my mind. Kelly pulled out a photo that was taped on the back of the canvas. Isn't this her? Robert had forgotten the photo was there. Yeah, that's her. Kelly grinned. And now I know her name. Kelly read the inscription on the photo. Hope this helps you along. All my love. Ariana? She gave me that photo because I was having trouble in a class where we had to draw nudes, and she helped me out. Kelly smiled. I'd say so. Kelly stepped back and examined the painting. Okay. I'll show you I'm an art critic. You know this girl. But you stand back from her. You've idealized her. She's not warm flesh and blood to you. Kelly looked at Robert. Even while you were screwing her. Robert stood, staring at Kelly, his mouth clamped shut. Kelly continued. Do you think about her when you masturbate? I know you think about me. You can be so crude sometimes. So? Tell me I'm wrong. We dated through college. She's your special one, and you still screwed her. God, what is this with you? Kelly looked at Robert questioningly and accusatively, both at the same time. She was very good at that. Robert gave up. We'd make love. I'd call her, and she'd come over. We were talking about getting engaged, but things happen. Robert crossed his arms across his chest and looked down. She cried when I left. Guys are such jerks. Yes, I was. What's the matter? She didn't fit in with your plans? She relieves your stress when you summon her. Then you put her away in some drawer until you want her again. No commitments, no complexities, no messy relationships. Everything's fine until she wants something more, then she's standing in your way. Kelly. It wasn't like that. Kelly was animated. I'll tell you what. No guy summons me, I summon them. Where is this coming from? I regret what I did. There were a lot of things going on in my life right then. Kelly wasn't stopping. You weren't willing to compromise your standards for her. You have some idealized image of a girl who's blonde, blue-eyed, and pure as snow, whose shit doesn't stink, and who has no hair except on the top of her head. Then you end up with a girl who farts occasionally, needs to shave her legs weekly, and bleeds every month. Kelly headed for the studio door. Have you ever done anything for someone that doesn't benefit you? I'm not a selfish person. She turned before leaving. Have you ever sacrificed yourself for someone else? I'm just trying to survive. Scene 2: The Night Angel Comes. He thought he heard a baby crying. It brought him out of sleep. His bedroom door opened. He could see a figure standing in the doorway, reflecting the moonlight that filtered through a window. Kelly? Kelly was smiling. She put a finger to her lips, shush. She was wearing Robert's shirt from the studio. Kelly had not buttoned it, and as far as Robert could see, she was not wearing anything else. Kelly was also carrying something. He woke up a little more, the cuffs and rope from the studio. Kelly turned on the bedstand light. I need to see what I'm doing. She pulled the blanket and sheet off Robert. He was wearing only underpants. Kelly climbed on top of him, straddled him, leaned down, and kissed him. What are you doing? Robert asked. We're playing the night angel game. Remember when I told you the next time I was going to tie you down? Kelly whispered in Robert's ear. This is that time. Kelly lifted Robert's arms above his head. Her breasts pressed against his face as she leaned over to stretch his arms to the bedposts. He felt the cuffs grip his wrists, his arms pull as Kelly fixed him tight to the bed. Kelly laid next to Robert. Her fingers traced down his chest and stomach to his underpants. She caressed him, moving over his balls and then back up, massaging the bulge as it got bigger. She teased the tip of Robert's penis out of the top of his underpants. Kelly smiled and fingered it, nudging it out further. She licked her way down Robert, neck, nipples, stomach, penis. She flicked her tongue over the tip of it and nibbled it, then pulled Robert's pants further down. The waistband held his penis against his stomach. Kelly licked the underside like a kitten licking its paw. Then she pulled Robert's pants down further, exposing all of him, his cock now freed, stood up. Kelly took it in her mouth and sucked while her tongue circled the tip. Her left hand massaged Robert's balls, while her right held his penis still for the attention her mouth was giving it. Robert's breathing became faster, his arms strained against the cuffs, his hips moved up and down in rhythm to Kelly's sucking. Then she stopped. Kelly slid Robert's shorts down and off. Then got off the bed and took hold of Robert's right leg and wrapped a cuff on it. She put a rope through the ring and pulled Robert's leg down, pulling it taut, stretching his arms that were fastened to the headboard, and secured his foot to the bedpost. She did the same with his left foot, opening him up, his balls and cock exposed and vulnerable. Robert was nervous. He had never been tied up before. He had illustrated many stories involving bondage. He had just never taken part. Some stories did not turn out so well for the person being restrained. "You seem to know what you're doing."
"Yeah.
I read your stories. Let's see you try to get loose." Robert's right foot jerked as Kelly scraped its bottom. Kelly laughed.
"Oh. You can do better than that. You might as well give up right now. You know I'm going to win."
Kelly's fingers grazed over Robert's foot, making his leg yank at the rope that held him to the bed. Robert twisted, trying to pull away. She couldn't win this. He clenched his mouth shut while Kelly continued flitting about his feet until she had Robert whining and grunting. "Now, let's check the other one." Kelly moved to Robert's left foot.
"No.
That's a new." Kelly flicked her fingers on Robert's foot, making it jump. He shut his eyes tight, scrunched his face. He was not going to give in to her. He wiggled his foot, trying to escape from Kelly's restless fingers. Robert's legs were jerking, his body bucking, as Kelly kept tickling. It was insane. Why wouldn't she stop? She must stop. Kelly lay on Robert's leg, so he couldn't move it at all. Then started in again. It was too much. He gave up, squealing as his body released into helpless convulsions. Kelly was laughing too.
"God. You're more ticklish than I am. Remember when you tied me up and tickled me?"
She stopped long enough for Robert to catch his breath to answer. "That was just to get an effect.
That was."
Kelly scribbled on Robert's foot, stopping his talking and sending him back into hysterics.
"Yeah, well, this is to break you. And it's payback time, pal."
Kelly played with Robert's feet until she was afraid he would pass out. Then she used her shirt to wipe the tears and drool from his face. Robert's body was still shivering.
"I can do whatever I want of you."
Robert winced as Kelly dug her fingers into his side.
"Keep you in a frenzy."
Kelly wiggled her fingers, provoking Robert's body to wrench and twist. Her hand moved to his groin. "Hurt you, and no one would hear you scream." Robert sucked in his breath as Kelly gripped his balls. "Or give you the ride of your life." Kelly brushed her fingers back and forth over Robert's twitching penis.
"Now I control every inch of you."
Kelly kept running her fingers on Robert's cock, making him hard.
"You should never have let me tie you up. I'm afraid this is going to be a very long night for you."
Kelly reached over to the nightstand and took out the jar of lotion. Kneeling on the bed, she opened it and scooped some out, rubbing it around on her hands, then on Robert's balls. The lotion was cold, and he jumped. His legs jerked as he tried to pull them together. The lotion warmed as Kelly continued to massage him. His legs were quivering. The area around the anus is especially sensitive. Kelly concentrated her fingers there. Robert's arms and legs strained against their binds. His breathing nervously quickened as Kelly ran her fingers over his entrance. She pressed a finger into him, making him gasp, and his sphincter muscle clenched to prevent the intrusion, then unclench when she moved her finger away. Push and withdraw, clench and unclench.
"Oh shit," Robert gasped.
Kelly liked she could do that to him. After a while, Kelly got more lotion from the jar. Robert had been semi-hard from the attention Kelly was giving his balls and ass, now he grew as she applied the lotion to his cock. Kelly made him hard, waited until he became softer. Then hard again. Then soft. Over and over. Her hand gliding over his cock. I like feeling you get hard in my hands. Robert's breathing was heavy and deep, like he was running a long-distance race. His legs and arms pulled at his binds. The familiar ache started in his balls, then moved up to the tip of his cock that Kelly's fingers were gently teasing. She may have been the night angel, but she was playing Janie's I Won't Let You Come game. Playing him like a melodic instrument, sometimes hard, sometimes soft, fast, slow, his grunts, groans, and sobs was the music she was creating. She snuggled next to him, moved her tongue around on his face, tasted him. Robert tasted back and kissed, pecked, nibbled her ear, rubbed his cheeks against hers. If only he could move his arms. He buried his face in her neck and licked and sucked like an insatiable lamb nuzzling its mother's udder. More. More. Give me more. He was in agony. Okay. Really? Enough. Finish me off. Kelly played with Robert for a while. Then put her lips to Robert's ear. What will you do for me? Oh God. Anything. I'd kill for you. That's what I like to hear. Who do you want me to kill? Oh, there are several. They're all dead. Promise? Promise. Kelly brought Robert close. His muscles tightened, waiting for the trigger. He was so close. So close. A stroke or two more. He stiffened, feeling it swell in him. It would be intense, even painful. Kelly's finger circled the tip of Robert's cock, sending electricity to his balls, then through his legs, then the whole mass of him. He was shaking? She paused. Robert was breathless. He lifted his head and looked at Kelly. Kelly smiled back. First, some rules. Rules? You and Sam like to have rules, so I have some of my own. Are you ready? Robert lowered his head, his eyes half closed, as Kelly gently caressed his balls. Good boy. Kelly kissed Robert's cheek. First, this is the Night Angel game. What we do here stays here. It's not part of our other world. We are separate from it. She stopped massaging. Understand? Sure. Promise? Yes. I like that one. That's a good one. She started again and kissed his other cheek. Second, I'll decide when the Night Angel comes to you. You can't summon her. It will be up to me. Kelly stopped. Promise? Can we talk about how often that might be? This is not a negotiation. Promise? Okay, okay. Kelly didn't restart. She looked at Robert. I asked you if you promise. Shit. Yes. Kelly ran her fingers up Robert's cock, around the tip, then back down and around his balls, and back up again, doing little figure eights. Third. Third? God, how many rules are there? Third. I demand all of you. I am the only one who can satisfy you. Robert looked at her, questioningly. Kelly stopped. Remember what I told you about the Night Angel? She's the only one who can relieve you. No one else, not even yourself. Understand? Let's talk about that one. That's the most important one. Do you remember why? To control the poor guy and make his life miserable. To prove you love me. Kelly, there are so many other ways I can show I love you. This is the way I've chosen. Promise right now, or I'll stop and leave you like that nerd. I have to choose tonight? No. Not tonight. Now. You have to choose now. Kelly smiled and kissed Robert's lips. Do you want to be a part of my dreams? I want to be in your life. I want us to be together. She kissed him again. Then play my games with me, Robert. She started stroking him. Robert had always followed his own path, hidden behind his rules. His polestar, a free mind and a free spirit, freedom above all else. It was why he left Ariana. No connections, no dependence on someone else. Kelly was pulling from a different direction. Did he want to go there? Yes, he thought. Kelly stopped.
Was that a yes?
Yes, yes.
Damn it.
I said yes. Kelly cradled Robert's head with her free arm and placed her hand across his eyes and whispered,
"A night angel can be anything you wish, Robert, whatever you can imagine.
Listen to my voice. You're helpless. A nymphette has captured you, is stimulating you, taking her time with you, probing your secret places until every nerve in your body is on fire."
She started stroking him.
"That's a good one, isn't it?"
"Yes."
That was one of his favorites.
"Where are you now, Robert? What fantasy have you escaped to?"
He heard a darker voice, a masculine voice, "I know." Kelly's hand kept Robert from opening his eyes to see who was talking.
"The trouble with fantasies," the dark voice continued, "is that sometimes they come true. Do you want me to tell you about this one?"
Robert shook his head, "No." He was suddenly very much afraid.
Kelly held his head tighter so he couldn't move it. Her hand was pressing on his eyes, keeping them shut.
A hand stroked his cock.
"Is this it?"
Robert was groaning.
"I'm a boy who has captured you. You're helpless as I explore your body. You're humiliated that your body responds to me, unwillingly arousing you, revolted that I can make it do that, embarrassed that you know I can make you come when I want, and so aroused," the voice whispered, Robert could hear it smile, "because you know I'm about to do just that."
Kelly's hand pressed down on Robert's eyes. He tried to feel Kelly's long hair on his face and chest, a girl's hair. He hadn't noticed it before, now he desperately wanted to.
The dark voice was close to his ear.
"Who do you want me to be, Robert?"
Robert's body was shaking. He was grunting and moaning as the hand moved slower and softer over his cock. Electricity was flying through him. His breathing was like a steam engine running at breakneck speed. His head pushed back into his pillow, his eyes held tight. The nerves at the end of his cock flashed, signaling his balls, they tightened, the fingers climbed up, so light, to the tip of his cock, holding him there, sending fire down his cock, muscles clenched, his body rock hard.
Nothing could stop it now.
The hand moved away and fingers pushed into his ass. The arm around his head smothered him tight.
The voice. "I'm Travis."
Robert's breath catches, his hips rise, his arm and leg muscles strain against their bonds, his balls draw up, his cock jerks, pumping, fucking, ejaculating into the air. He cries. His body shakes. Then he collapsed. Kelly held Robert's head as his body shuddered, and he sobbed. After he quieted, she removed her arm.
Robert opened his eyes.
Kelly looked triumphant.
Robert looked away, ashamed.
Kelly kissed his cheeks.
"It's okay, Robert. Rest for a while. We're going to play that one again."